for a chance to take the trophy home. Zakalilabasa strikes it purely for the opportunity of a lifetime. FTS Galaxy not only defeated the Abakwasi but created history. They might very well now be the only lower division team to ever win the National Cup.
Sokala Duma Radio.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sokala Duma Radio Live. It's a Monday, it's 2 o'clock, and everything happened over the weekend. The Absa Premiership got to a close with the Nedbank Cup final between TS Galaxy and Kaizer Chiefs. TS Galaxy creating history there, becoming the first team from the lower leagues to beat Kaizer Chiefs and also to be the champions of the coveted Nedbank Cup. That is the FA Cup of Mzansi Football. Everything happened there. We are still trying to get hold of one of the players who lifted the cup over the weekend. That is Sizwe Mdlinzo, but we'll get him later on into the show. We go to Clint Roper, to is our guest tonight. Clint, everything happened over the weekend, starting from the FA Cup in England, also to this FA Cup, our own FA Cup in Mzansi. Kaizer Chiefs, TS Galaxy breaking records.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think in our show on Friday, you asked for some predictions, and I got it horribly wrong. I said Chiefs would win this one by a landslide.
I think you should have said Man City.
Other way around. But if you think about it, Shane, the two FA Cups were very similar in terms of the opposition teams. Man City, huge favourites going in against a team that shouldn't really have been able to compete with them. Kaizer Chiefs going in as huge favourites against a team that shouldn't have been able to compete with them in terms of wage bills, in terms of talent, in terms of resources. Man City showed that the marketing and the hype, they can actually back up. And they won, I think it was 6 that they got in the end, which we would have thought would have happened with Kaizer Chiefs and TS Galaxy, but that wasn't to be. That said, football is about giant slaying and story making. We've seen it happen in the past on numerous occasions. So it's not, Chiefs are not the first giants to be slayed by a smaller team and certainly won't be the last. But yes, it must be a very difficult Monday afternoon for Kaizer Chiefs fans having been beaten by a much smaller team.
What does it mean, though, Clint? I mean, for a relatively small club like TS Galaxy, this is a team that was formed just 10 months ago. Now they are in the final of the Nedbank Cup facing Kaizer Chiefs, the most successful side in the PSL football. Now they are also on the verge of playing. They're not on the verge. They are in line. They will be playing the CAF Confederations Cup next season. How does it feel, for the boys? What does it mean for a relatively small club like TS Galaxy beating Kaizer Chiefs, winning their first major trophy?
Yeah, well, first of all, we've got the NFD playoffs happening at the moment where teams are trying to get into the PSL. Only the one spot is guaranteed. Mm. I think the feeling behind that is maybe the standard of the NFD is not as good as the PSL, and therefore they only deserve the one slot, and we'll give the other PSL teams an extra opportunity to try save their status. However, I think we saw on the weekend that the NFD actually has a very high quality and a quality that PSL clubs struggle to compete with. So that's one thing. I think we have to say well done to the NFD for the standards that seem to be getting higher and higher every season. In terms of what it means for the club, I guess there's definitely a financial reward, which will help them hopefully hang on to some of those players that could be plundered by PSL teams who have watched them move through this Nedbank Cup. I would imagine you've got PSL clubs, maybe some of the ones in the lower section of the league who are trying to buy shrewdly. They can't go for the big names, and so there'll be a couple of names that'll be on their shopping list as we go into the close season and the transfer window opens and players are able to move from clubs. That said, though, I think if you ask TS Galaxy what would be the bigger reward, they would say promotion to the PSL. That's really where the money is. Mm. That's where the glory is. So, but certainly they've set off and set themselves high standards, and they'll be a team that people will be watching in the new season.
Yeah, to our listeners at home, as you all know that we are only the drivers of this show, but the most important people in this show is you at home. And over the weekend, we sent a social asking for your opinion, asking for your voice. How do Amakhosi feel after this cup final? And some of them sent us many, many voice notes. Some of them are totally unhappy with the result over the weekend, and are expectedly so. And this is what some of them had to say.
Radio. Any people that said the referee was wrong to accept the penalty in the last minute, but it doesn't mean that the referee was wrong. Nothing was wrong. Referee, he won't allow to keep following the wrong system of penalty just because who made the penalty was Kaizer Chiefs. No, referee was right.
Good morning, good morning, Soccer Laduma. This is Kenny Zakati all the way from Palm Springs. I am a huge Kaizer Chiefs fan, and I don't know if I'll still be able to watch Kaizer Chiefs. I didn't expect that from Coach Mirandorp. I didn't expect that from the guys. They didn't look anything like a big team playing in a cup final last night. What these guys are doing is just painful. We cannot watch this current Kaizer Chiefs team. It is not Kaizer Chiefs material.
The level of football in South Africa is dropping each and every day. And yes, we might congratulate TS Galaxy for what they've done, but I need to tell you this. Football in South Africa is not growing, and the game itself was boring. Let's be honest to ourselves. The more we praise mediocrity, the more we praise how Chiefs will play. This thing of saying Chiefs played their heart out, it's just that they were beaten, they were unlucky. It's brutally a lie. And we need to not be lying to ourselves. We need to say things the way they are, try to solve them, and our football will grow.
I'm with that guy who said the football can kill you. With Chipper United, he collapsed. Football was nearly to kill him. Today, he's shining. I'm telling you, that guy, he better resign. I mean, he better resign to that guy, to that team, and work to the SABC or Passport, I don't know. But football can kill you.
The standard of football here in South Africa, it's very high. We don't have big teams. We don't have small teams. All teams are equally competitive here. I mean, if you can recall this season, we have MTN 8 that went to Cape Town. And then we had Telkom Cup that went to Rampahlele. The APSA Premiership, it's in Mamelodi. And then now the Nedbank, it's going to KwaNdebele. That says the standard of football in South Africa, it's very competitive.
I am so very happy. Like, I am very happy. I can't even eat. I am so happy that Kaizer Chiefs did lose because the fans talk too much.
Yeah, I hope the players from today will stop appointing amateur referees for these finals.
These two big teams from Soweto who have a multi-million sponsorships among them cannot win a single cup out of the four cups that are on offer. It's a shame that other teams can struggle to get sponsorship, and two teams, Orlando Pirates and Kaizer Chiefs, and I'm an Orlando Pirates supporter, get so much money, but they cannot invest that money wisely in terms of buying quality players. When I mean buying players, I mean quality, not just buying someone because he's available, because someone you don't want to go to Sundowns, or you don't want that player to go to Vets or any other team. So you take that player, but it doesn't fit into the coach's system or the style of play. But because he's available, then you just take him and put him on the bench. He stays, he doesn't even play because he's available.
And you're still tuning to Sokala Duma Radio Live. And those were the voice notes that were sent to us by you, supporters, our loyal readers and listeners of Sokala Duma Radio. Clint, so many disappointed souls out there from Amakhosi.
Yeah, and you can understand how difficult it must be for them walking into work today and already feeling the pain from watching the game itself, but then having fellow supporters of different clubs take the mickey out of them. I think what's very interesting about the voice notes, Shane, is the football intelligence of the supporter base in South Africa.
True.
the things that they're saying there resonate with the bigwigs of South African football. It's ironic, interesting even, that Morocco Swallows, I think, share the most cup wins in this particular cup competition, though it's been held by a lot of different sponsors. Sure. Morocco Swallows are one of the most prolific teams within this tournament, and were once the Kaizer Chiefs, Orlando Pirates and Sundowns of the league. Morocco Swallows were a very big team, an iconic team. Don't follow me, follow the birds. Where are Morocco Swallows now? If clubs think that South African soccer owes them anything, they're sorely mistaken. And I think the demise of a club like Morocco Swallows, who once were the cup kings of South African football, sure, have slipped down the ranks to the extent they have. You look at a Kaizer Chiefs, who the Glamour Boys, who it's unthinkable that they will never be in the PSL or never be up there competing for trophies. But if we look at the last couple of seasons, if we look at this season in particular, out of the top eight, lost to an NFD side in a cup, people are going to start asking questions, and rightly so. The one supporter they mentioned that you've got two clubs in this country who probably get the lion's share of the sponsorship money, that being Kaizer Chiefs and Orlando Pirates, in terms of what they can ask for if you're a sponsor and you want to be on the front of their jersey, as well as all the other the competitions and sponsorships they pick up just because they are the top teams in South Africa. They really need to be doing more. You know, people might say we're a two-team league or a three-team league. It's not looking like that at the moment. Teams like Wits and Supersport and Cape Town City are starting to turn this league into a anyone-can-win situation, which is great for South African soccer. But truth be told, and I said it last week, when Kaizer Chiefs do well, when Orlando Pirates do well, when Sundowns do well, South African soccer is doing well. Right now, Kaizer Chiefs are taking the shine off of South African soccer a little bit with their underperformance. And rightly or wrongly, so questions are now being asked. Do we get rid of the coach? Do we have the right players? And until there is consistent achievement by this club, those questions will remain.
Wow. That is Clint Roper telling us more about this game between TS Galaxy and Kaizer Chiefs, telling us what Kaizer Chiefs might need to do going forward, telling us also about Morocco Swallows, the former glorious team of Mzansi football. Also, we are still on this supporters, also others who sent us voice notes earlier on. We also spoke to one Kaizer Chiefs who is a prominent supporter of the Kaizer Chiefs team. He's also part of the soccer Duma Supporters Club Committee, and that is Uma Chaka. And we had a chat with him earlier on today, and this is what he got to say to us.
Sokala Duma Radio. Duma Radio.
On the line, we've got Kaizer Chiefs as most prominent supporter there, Uma Chaka. Chakalinio, not a very good way to end the season, my brother, and also not a very good birthday present from your team as Budam.
Yes, my brother. At the weekend, yes, I was celebrating my birthday before 7 p.m., before the kickoff. It was a very, very disappointing result, my brother, to say the least. I didn't hope that TS Galaxy will go in the halftime while we were still nil-nil, you know. Because I thought maybe I will wrap up the game in the first 45 minutes. I could see the supporters is scrambled, upset and also disappointed about the results.
Fans of other clubs are teasing you on social media about being out of the top eight, and now this cup final loss against TS Galaxy. That must be a bitter pill to swallow.
Absolutely. It was a hard nut to crack as well. As you're saying, you're spot on. I think management and all the players, everyone involved, they must have got to the drawing board. Even if there's a drawing board, I'm not sure if there's a drawing board, there's a trainer. But I'm saying to you, my brother, very, very disappointing stuff as well, you know.
But have any of the players apologized, though, to the fans when I'm a Chuck?
At this stage, I might be lying. At this stage, I think that they're still trying to just try to understand themselves. Is it real that they've lost against TS Galaxy? I don't think they've expected that. You could even see after the game, you know, their faces, very, very sad faces. To me, we are still waiting for everyone to come out and apologize. Truly speaking, yes, supporters need an apology. And I think how they've went through and also how I went through, you know, it's really sad and disappointing. What I'm saying is, you know, supporters wherever they are, even if from neighboring countries, they need an apology from the players, they need an apology from the management side, to the Glamour Boys. I'm saying, guys, next season, let's regroup again. Let's make sure that we take it as where it was before. And I'm saying, I'm expecting nothing but a good season next season. Thank you very much.
I'm a course for life. Until next time, my brother.
And the chief all the time.
Soccer La Duma Radio.
And that is the voice of Umachaka, as I said earlier, one of Kaizer Chiefs most prominent supporters there. Also, he's also part of the Sokala Duma Supporters Club Committee, Umachaka. Thank you so much there to him. Clint, another disappointed fan. It was also his birthday over the weekend, and as you said earlier, not a very nice way of spending your birthday.
Yeah, so the funny thing is, Shane, is you mentioned he's part of the Supporters Club, Sokala Duma Supporters Club. I'm on a WhatsApp group with Mama Fefe and Machucks and Buerta and Mama Tonto and a couple of the guys. And in the morning, we all wished Machucks happy birthday, and as we all do to all the Supporters Club members. But after that Kaizer Chiefs loss, there wasn't much activity on that group. So you can hear how disappointed he is. And I would imagine he represents a large portion of the Kaizer Chiefs fans who probably do want to hear from the players themselves. And it's not like the players don't have a voice to connect with the supporters. There are social media platforms. Players can tweet, players can use Instagram or Facebook to maybe put some messages out there. And possibly one or two of them have done already. We've just not seen them. I know that Ernst Middendorp came out and apologized to the fans. And he too, as Machaka said, he feels the players were shocked and couldn't believe what happened. I think Ernst was a deer in headlights at the press conference after the game as well, because as a coach who literally has every single resource available to him, more so than most in South Africa, to come into this game and lose it in that fashion, even just to be 0-0 as we ended the game, must have been very disconcerting for a coach. And I know he does his homework, so he probably wasn't underprepared for this. And it's easier to blame one person, a coach, than to blame 11 players or 12 or 13. So obviously he'll bear the brunt of this. And back to the drawing board. You have to wonder, though, a club like Kaizer Chiefs, whether they'll allow his reign to continue. The fans will obviously put pressure and want to see changes ahead of the new season. So, it was a banana skin waiting for Ernst Middendorp to slip on, and he did. And it's going to be very interesting to see how the club reacts to a very poor season by Chiefs standards.
Yeah, and I don't know, we spoke to Farooq Khan earlier on in the show, and we'll play his clip later on in the show. But Clint, I asked you earlier about what this cup means for a team like TS Galaxy and that opportunity of playing CAF Confed Cup next season. But for Kaizer Chiefs, though, what does it mean losing this cup? I mean, from an analyst's point of view, for a big team like Kaizer Chiefs to finish outside the top eight, now you find yourself you had an opportunity to finish the season with a cup, the national cup, but it also slipped away through your fingers. What does it mean now for Kaizer Chiefs, Kaizer Chiefs management? Do they, like as you said, they must go back to the drawing board, but what does it mean for a club like Kaizer Chiefs to go into a final and lose it, especially against a small team?
I mean, if you said Kaizer Chiefs were a ship and they finished ninth, meaning they'd sprung a leak somewhere in the hull and they were taking on water, this cup represented an opportunity for the season to be saved to a certain extent, to finish off on a high note, to give Chiefs fans hope for the new season. The fact that they lost means the ship basically capsized. And now there's a lot of turmoil in that club, I would imagine, as to the way forward. It's a proud, proud club. It's a big club. And you just wonder if there's going to be a complete clear out. We've seen the likes of Eckstein go, one of the fan favorites. So that would have also been concerning to the fans as to who do we replace and do we have enough about us to continue to do well. It's going to be this next season for Kaizer Chiefs based on bear this in mind, getting to a cup final must be praised as well, because every team, all the 16 teams in the PSL had an opportunity to get to the cup final. Sure. So that must be praised. Although if you look at the route that Kaizer Chiefs took to get there, it's not like they beat massive giants to get there, but they got there nonetheless. So praise must be given for that. But the performance in the cup final, the result in the cup final, probably did them more harm than good, and probably would have been better for them to get knocked out earlier in the competition than to have their demise broadcast all over the South Africa to every soccer fan out there. I think to Nedbank, though, who sponsor this cup, they've now got a fairy tale story to tell. And so for South African soccer, no matter where you play, this represents a dream and a hope to go and beat the biggest teams in the country.
Wow. Clint, as a former player yourself, I mean, you've played this football. As a player, though, you are going into this cup final. You are playing for a smaller club like TS Galaxy. You're playing against a bigger team like Kaizer Chiefs. Do those players ever have it in themselves that we can do this, especially at this last moment in time? You are facing a final. You're facing Kaizer Chiefs. Like, these like players who are playing for these smaller clubs, do they have it, always have it in them, or was it a special thing from coach Dan Malesela? Did it also work for him that he took also former players to come and help him do this job against Kaizer Chiefs?
Yeah. So a team like Kaizer Chiefs or Pirates or Sundowns, every single game they play, for the team that's playing against them, there's a saying that goes, guys, for them, it's a cup final. So if they get this, if they get your scalp by beating you, for them, whether it's a friendly, a preseason friendly, or a game at the start of the season, it's a cup final. Here, literally, we've got a small team in a cup final, playing a cup final against Kaizer Chiefs. So for the 90 minutes, any team can beat any team. We've seen it before. I think it was at Iceland that beat England not so long ago. Similar kind of situation at international level. It happens in other sports as well. You get a team like Japan beating the mighty Springboks in a World Cup rugby tournament. So, yes, in sport, that's the beauty of sport. 9 times out of 10, the bigger team should be good enough to take it. But every now and then, a small team will have enough energy about them, enough adrenaline, enough excitement, and things just go their way. For something like this to happen. So, yes, I've been in the smaller teams, and you need no motivation coming up against a big team. You do believe you can do it. And as the clock ticked on without any goals,
sure,
their belief and their resolution would have been growing with every minute that passed. And once you get the goal, that's it. I think the Chiefs players knew it as well. There was no coming back.
And now, for on the Kaizer Chiefs point of view, I mean, there are a mixed views, like even on social media, where Kaizer Chiefs fans, they feel like this cup, even though it was a painful loss, they feel like it is a blessing in disguise for some of them. And some believe that had they won this cup, they would have been misled. They would, even the management would have been misled at thinking that everything at the club is right. But do you think that is the case? Do you think there is something that needs to be fixed at Kaizer Chiefs, and that this cup, I wouldn't say you should say it is a blessing in disguise, but do you think this cup for them not winning it maybe can work for them in a good way for preparing for next season?
So, as you rightly say, there's more learnt in loss than there is in victory. And had Kaizer Chiefs won this, maybe some of the shortfalls would have been glossed over because they've picked up the biggest domestic cup title of the country. So maybe you leave the season thinking, well, maybe it's not as bad as we first thought it was. I think to a large extent, this loss will further amplify the search and the project of putting Kaizer Chiefs back together and making them competitive and making them live up to their status come next season. This would be the equivalent of the same thing with a Real Madrid.
Sure.
Didn't win a Champions League, were well beaten by Barcelona to the title. Cracks have appeared. The supporters of these clubs won't accept it. And the management of these clubs, and knowing the management of Kaizer Chiefs, you've got some incredibly proud family members there who understand what the Amakhosi emblem means to so many South Africans. And they will demand that it get better in the new season, and we'll take the necessary steps to achieve that. So I tend to agree with you to a certain extent that the loss on the weekend will galvanize the efforts for Kaizer Chiefs to fix things.
Yeah, and talking about players understanding what it means, and also for the fans and what they expect from the players. We also had a chat with the former Kaizer Chiefs assistant coach back in the days, Farouk Khan. He was also involved with the Kaizer Chiefs development of players like your Sibeko, your Gerald Sibeko, your Chabupule, also your Stanton Fredericks, who came from Verts, who formed that formidable combination with Chabupule back in 2001. When they won what they say is Fat Alice. We had a chat with him earlier, and this is what he had to say to us.
Soccer Duma Radio.
On the line, we've got the former Kaizer Chiefs assistant coach, former Kaizer Chiefs, was also there in the Kaizer Chiefs youth development, and that is Farouk Khan. Mr. Farouk, welcome to Soccer Duma Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Just the fast, the throat is a little bit hoarse, but I hope you can hear me. You know, it's the month of Ramadan, but I'll do my best.
Oh, I hope you enjoyed it, but we can hear you loud and clear, Mr. Farouk. Mr. Farouk, we are coming back from a weekend that was a David versus Goliath, but David finally won. TS Galaxy won, but what does this loss mean for Kaizer Chiefs?
Well, it's an indication that there needs to be drastic change in all departments, and I think this is obviously what Kaizer and his hierarchy will be seeking to do moving forward, because this is a big team, this is an institution, and it's been the worst season ever in the history of Kaizer Chiefs. And it obviously pains everybody involved, in the present, the past, and the people would obviously like to see the team making a positive start in the new season.
Mr. Farouk, you know, many people are wondering what really is going on at Kaizer Chiefs. We've seen at the beginning of the season where they signed your high-profile player, like your Lebohang Manyama, your Kama Biliat, but a ninth finish place on the log and also a cup final loss. What seems to be going wrong for Kaizer Chiefs?
Well, it's difficult to accurately point where the problem lies, because, you know, you've got to be involved to be able to be factual. However, from looking from outside, you must agree that Kaizer Chiefs have signed some very quality players. I mean, you look at Biliat and you look at Kasparov, they made up the CBD, the famous CBD at Mamelodi Sundowns, and they were formidable. But I think people often speak about Kaizer Chiefs not signing good players. I think that is maybe not as true as it sounds, because if you look at Biliat, you look at Rama, you look at Maluleka, you look at Molowani, you look at Manyama, you look at Changaz. This boy Dux has also lately shown his potential. The list is endless. So I don't think players can be the problem. Nor would I want to say that they're not living up to expectation as far as the coaching department is concerned. However, you must understand that Chiefs was born and bred under the style of any glamour boys. There's a certain distinctive style of play. And if you look at Kaizer Chiefs currently, you don't see that style of play. You don't see the style of play that came about with the great Ace Mitchell, Sinead Gadler, and I mean, the list is endless. Today, when you watch Kaizer Chiefs, they are very much a team that looks to play on the counter, which is a modern trend. I mean, Brazilian football is a modern trend. But I think if you look at the other examples of Sundowns and Orlando Pirates, they've adapted that style to suit the characteristics of local players. I think when you look at any international trend, you have to adapt it to your local needs and your local trends and qualities of your players. This is why a player like in Changaz is finding it difficult to become a regular. Because I suppose, you know, he can't really be as effective in that style of play. So I think to round it off, if you look at when Bayern Munich was at their peak, when they won the treble, what did they go and do? They went and hired who? Pep Guardiola. Why? Why do you hire somebody like Pep when you are doing so well? And after reading his book, it comes across that they hired him because they felt that Bayern Munich didn't have a unique style. And they needed to bring somebody in to create that style. And that is the reason why Pep was brought in. So I do think Chiefs need to go back to their roots. You know, don't look at the periphery. Don't look at the symptoms. I mean, everybody's saying the coach is the one and the players are the one. I think you've got to look deeper than that. You've got to look and say, what is the identity of Kaizer Chiefs? What made Kaizer Chiefs the great team it was in the past? And you will obviously come to the conclusion that they were unique. They had an identity. If you look currently at Sundowns. What makes Sundowns unique is their style of play. And that is that speaks to them about the type of players that they sign. Sure. You know, when you have an identity, you know what you're looking for. You won't get players that don't fit into that style of play. And I think that is the starting point for me. I'm not going to assume what's happening at Chiefs because that would be incorrect and that wouldn't be professional. But what I'm going to say is that I can't see the identity. I can't see the fingerprint that speaks to me about Kaizer Chiefs and their style, their identity.
Mr. Farouk, you know, we've spoken to a few Kaizer Chiefs supporters, and there are some of them who believe the team was better under the former coach Giovanni Solinas. And some of them, they are saying the team was even much better under their then former coach Steve Rompela. There are also some of them who believe that Ernest Middendorp isn't doing well enough with this current Kaizer Chiefs team. Do you think Coach Ernest Middendorp, should he be given a chance with Kaizer Chiefs next season, he might do even better? Is he there anything that he is missing that those former coaches were doing?
Well, I don't think it's fair to compare coaches in the way that you just mentioned. But I do believe that if you look at football, football is results-driven. As a coach, you are judged on results. As a coach, you are judged on results. As a youth coach, you are judged on the players you produce. That's the only measurement. And I do think that it is not my place to say whether Chiefs should hang on to Middendorp. I think he's a very good coach. I do think people don't understand the circumstances he finds himself in. But in saying that, it would be a huge, huge, huge task for him after this to get this team back into the place they belong, to get this team to perform into the expectations of the fans, because rightfully, the fans have been spoiled with this fantastic team producing all of these great results. If you look at a team of Kaizer Chiefs standard and you see that they haven't won anything in 4 years, that is huge concern. That is, to lose to a team like yes, Galaxy, no disrespect intended to an NFC team, and I want to congratulate them for being the first team outside the PSL win the Nedbank Cup. But in saying that, Chiefs had no right to go and lose to them under the circumstances they did. And if you look at the fact that Chiefs had a number of chances, sure, to win the game, but even if they had won the game, we would still be talking about the fact that Chiefs haven't lived up to expectations. Are we going to go through story next season where we look at Chiefs as a team that looking to build as a team that trying their best to win the cup? I don't think that should be the case. They should do exactly what Paris did. Paris said it overall. They looked at being in a very strong technical team. They looked at how they could get the best out of their players. And this is it. I mean, if it means that Chiefs have to get people to assist, then so be it. But get people that can add value to this amazing football team.
Farouk, you were involved with one of the most successful Kaizer Chiefs side that also even went on to win the CAF Cup back then in 2001. What is it that you think that Kaizer Chiefs team did better, or they were mastering that this current Kaizer Chiefs team aren't doing?
Well, I tell you, it's a good question that you're asking. I think the first thing was the chemistry between the technical team. And Mushin Etugal was a fantastic leader. I think sometimes people misunderstand Mushin Etugal in the sense that he's very passionate and sometimes he's very emotional. But I think with that comes somebody who's really able to get the team to play a certain way. And that stems from the fact that he had a passion for youth. He was able to promote a number of very exciting players. I think you know those players, the likes of Jabu Pule, Tanta Kubeka, Isaac Mabotsa, the list is endless. And he was able to utilize them in the first team. There was no doubt in his mind that they were ready. Currently, you look at Mashirani, you look at Momo, you look at Blom, you look at Tibedi. These are very promising youngsters at Chiefs. The big question is, will they be able to get regular game time like we did give the players I mentioned earlier at Chiefs? The second thing was that we were able to play at a level where there was both results and the spectator spectacle. And this is what people look for in football. Sometimes it's not just about winning, although winning can buy you time, but it's the long-term effect. The long-term effect, because you can recall, after Machine, Ted Demetrio came along, I then assisted him coming from Santos, and what Ted did was, he didn't try to change the players. He looked at embracing their skills, their qualities, and allowing them to play the chief style of play, which is keeping the ball, triangulation, limiting the touches, creating goal-scoring opportunities. And this is where the likes of Colin Zuma scored a number of goals this season. But it was just that we got the balance right. We had David Khadebe with Collins up front. David wasn't the most prolific goal scorer, but he always created space with his runs, with his movement, with his energy. You know, we had to make do with defenders because we didn't have the depth in quality. I can recall when we brought McCarthy back, and he was at one stage not in the plan, but when we brought him back, just the way he was able to command that defense of Mabedi, you know. And you know, when Scaron Gobeldi played his best football, what did we do to make Scaron play his best football? We embraced it. We made him feel confident. And I think it's a mind game. And I think it's when players are genuinely confident, there's a coaching staff is behind them. I mean, we used to really pamper Scaron because he was the most misunderstood player. But that particular season, he won the best player at Kaizer Chiefs. So it's about the block effect, which is the planning, the leading, the organizing, and the control. That is what our principle was. We use this clock effect, P being planning, leading the players, organizing the players, and controlling the players. And that is so important in any professional team. It's about the psyche. I think a lot is dependent on the mental side. If you look at the current Kaizer Chiefs squad, the players don't look as motivated. They don't look that hungry. Yes, they're showing a lot of fighting spirit, as you saw part of it. And that stems from the professionalism and the everyday attitude. But is it enough? Are they content? Are they happy? And this is what needs to be done now. I think we need to get back to making this a happy environment, making this an environment where players look forward to every match. When you play catch-up and you play against a team like here at Galaxy over the weekend, if you look at the two teams, in your opinion, who has more stress? It was here at Galaxy looked very calm. They defended as a block. They looked to play on the counter. They had one clear opportunity, and they took it. Sure. And you can see the desperation from Khadebe when he made the tackle. It was a desperate tackle. On another occasion, he could have maybe just tied it, the opponent. But in this occasion, it was desperate. We must win. And they went about it in a very offensive way. In my opinion, I think if they showed more patience, if they threw Galaxy out of those defensive positions, maybe we'd be speaking something different today.
Mr. Farouk, I guess, my good sir, I will have to let you go because of time. But just before I let you go, because you were involved at Kaizer Chiefs when they had youth players like your Stanton Fredericks, they were still at the tender age. There were also your Shuffle, Jabopule. There was also that era of our coach, Stuart Baxter, where he relied mostly on experienced players, your Lichorinyane, your Kaka, your Masilela, your Chabalala, your Parker. But now, there is this current crop of Kaizer Chiefs players. Do you think maybe blooding in new youngsters, or maybe do you think Coach Ernest Middleton should go for those experienced? But does Kaizer Chiefs have those experienced players in the team that had carried them over the line?
Well, I don't think you must disrespect the experience they have. Parker, Tatsani, these are all experienced campaigners. Maluleka, Billiard. I don't think it's fair to say that they don't have the quality. I think they do have the quality. They have the youth. It's about getting the balance. It's about making sure that you are able to blend these different qualities into a formidable team. You still have Kune coming back, and I think he was a huge factor in the other coaches. Everybody speaks about the coaches that did well before Middendorf, but Middendorf had a goalkeeper crisis. And, you know, your goalkeeper is very important to any football team. And be that as it may, I think if you look at the past season, the record that those coaches had was also due to the fact that they had a very good leader and goalkeeper in Tumelang Kune.
Farouk, I think that's it for today, my good sir. Thank you so much for taking your time and speaking to us on Soccer Latuma Radio.
Always a pleasure, my man. Keep up.
Thank you.
Soccer Latuma Radio.
And we are still live on Soccer Latuma Radio. And that was our conversation there with former Kaizer Chiefs coach Farouk Khan. He's also been linked with the club, with a return back to the club to head their development structures there together with Abu Arthur Zwane. But Clint, you heard, I'm sure you heard what Farouk got to say. He spoke about what you spoke about earlier, about some of the players finding it maybe hard to realize how huge Kaizer Chiefs is and how huge is that emblem of Amakhosi is for them.
Yeah, I think the great thing about speaking to Farouk Khan is he's been there, so he knows the culture of the club. He understands the expectations from management. He played a big role in ensuring that the type of young player that was graduating into the first team was Kaizer Chiefs quality, Kaizer Chiefs expectation. And then obviously having worked in the senior ranks as well, knows the challenges. And one of those challenges is making sure that players realize that the jersey doesn't do the job. It still takes the ability and the energy and the passion to get the results. Is this unique to South African soccer's big clubs? If we look over to the English Premier League, where a lot of South Africans take their lead from in terms of what football should look like, Man United are not in too dissimilar a position. Yeah, you have a club also, massive history, massive following, but underachieving hugely by their standards. And you've got legends of the club taking pot shots at players. I believe Roy Keane recently took a pot shot when he said that you've got this young Ajax Amsterdam captain who's 19 earning an average wage, and you look at Man United and you've got Rashford who scores 10 goals a season and is on 100,000 a week, and you've got one or two others who are more concerned in becoming Instagrammers than they are footballers. So all big clubs around the world have problems where they go through dips. I don't think that this is a quick fix. Like with Man United, I don't think there's a quick fix, especially when you consider how far ahead a team like Sundowns is, and even Pirates were up there. Mm-hmm. This is going to take 3, 4, 5 seasons, and it's going to be a brave coach to say, let me stay here, let me build, because the results I don't think are going to change overnight. I think next season will be a similar situation where we've got to try and find the right Amakhosi players, make sure that they are then doing the right things on the park to get the club back up to where it belongs. So it's going to be, I think, a rough road for the Kaizer Chiefs supporters for the next season or two, until there's a bit of continuity and the right players are brought in, are under the right coach, and that there is some kind of a gelling that's happening with this team. Even Pep Guardiola, when he got to City, had to take time in terms of bringing the right players on to play his style of football, to play a Man City style of football. Sure. And the management trusted in him. They allowed him to buy his own players, and they are now reaping the rewards of that. I think Man City has forced the rest of the league to get better. I think Mamelodi Sundowns is forcing the rest of the PSL to get better. Liverpool certainly have responded to the challenge. It seems that Pirates have responded to the challenge of Sundowns being that much better. Mm. It now remains to be seen what Kaizer Chiefs will be doing.
Yeah, I'm sure even at home you are wondering if how come we didn't have anyone from TS Galaxy. I mean, we've been trying. We might get the player there who was nominated as a best young promising player of the Nedbank Cup. We might be able to speak to him later on in the show. We are also still trying to chat to former Kaizer Chiefs coach back in 2001, and that is Mohsin Tugraal. He won Fat Ali there. We're still trying to get hold of him. As soon as we get him, we'll get him on the line. But Clint, we are still on this ambit of the Nedbank Cup. There was also another FA Cup back there in England where Manchester City destroyed and humiliated Watford. I mean, an unexpected scoreline, but some will say expected, because this is a team that beat Chelsea also 6-0 this season. Manchester City, they seem to be in their own world, Clint.
Yeah, they're definitely there in a league of their own. I think what's so impressive about the way Man City plays, everyone talks about the physicality of the English league, that you've got to be big and fast and strong to compete. Man City, I think, on average, have the smallest players in the English Premier League, talking in terms of stature. But what they have done is they've taken an antiquated system of play that's usually used by the English clubs, which is get it forward, get it in their half, and let's press them. And they've turned their team into a modern football machine, the way that Pep Guardiola does do. And even although they did get knocked out by Spurs and weren't able to go further in the tournament, I would say that Man City and the way they play, the type of football they play, must be up there with the best three or four teams in the world right now. And I think that that's going to exist for a long, long time. So did I expect that scoreline on Saturday? I did, especially if they were going to get an early goal. I think they rested Aguero from the start.
Sure.
Your best striker one of the best strikers in the English Premier League, does it time and time again. And who do they bring on? De Jesus, a youngster who is the future of Man City.
Sure.
He rewarded them with a goal. Looking at that team, they're not resting on their laurels. I believe the captain, Vincent Kompany, might be on his way.
Yeah.
And they'll be looking to improve and get better. And that's what Pep Guardiola does. He doesn't allow anyone to rest. And he's one of the few coaches who seems to be able to learn from victory. Whereas a lot of other people would say, right, we must be good enough, so we'll stop evolving. He continues to evolve despite success. And that's the frightening thing about Man City. I think it's a frightening thing for Man United fans, knowing that City will just keep on getting better and better.
Yeah, talking about Manchester City and Vincent Kompany, we are hearing news that Vincent Kompany is going back to Belgium to play and be a manager and also a coach for a team called Anderlecht there in Belgium. But we'll get confirmation later in the week. Talking about this Nedbank Cup and talking about the season coming to an end, there were also some awards that were happening at the PSL over the weekend. There were also awards, the PSL Players Player of the Season, the PSL Footballer of the Season, the Goalkeeper, the Coach of the Season. Coach Biso Mosimane walking away with the big award there of Coach of the Season, beating his rival there, Coach Milutin Sredojevic, and also Coach Benny McCarthy. There was also the Defender of the Season there. There were also quite good nominees there, but Mamelodi Sundowns Stalwart there, Defender Ricardo Nascimento walking away with the big prize. There was also some big nominees in the Absa Premiership Midfielder of the Season. Themba Zwane was there, Thembi Nkosi Lorch was there, Hlompho Kekana was there, but there had to be one winner, and that winner was Hlompho Kekana. And there was also that absolutely a goal of the season, which there were quite a few nominees, but it was cut down to three. There was also a goal there from Tebogo Mokoena of SuperSport United, the youngster there, who also won the Young Player of the Season. There was also Vincent Pule of Orlando Pirates there. There was also Kama Biliat of Kaizer Chiefs, his goal there against SuperSport United. Also Vincent Pule, his goal against Polokwane City. But the big award of the Players Player of the Season and the Footballer of the Season, it went to one player, and that is Thembi Nkosi Lorch of Orlando Pirates. And now on the line, I think we are about to have Coach Mohsin Etchugral. Coach, welcome to Soccer La Duma Radio. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to the listeners and everyone.
Coach, you coach what the team, what we'll say was arguably the best Kaizer Chiefs squad of all time, the squad that won everything, including the CAF African Cup Winners' Cup back in 2001. You were also named the Team of the Year. And how does it make you feel seeing your former club reaching a final and not win it?
Not win it is not the problem. But I think the way that the club, since a couple of years now, as a very big club in African football, not winning trophies and back-to-back years, not having any silverware, it's very unfortunate. And when you look into the other teams, that Sundowns, Wits, or also Pirates, is not winning, but also City there doing the right thing. And actually, Kaiser Chiefs at the moment, they have really big problems, and looks like they are at the moment far away from to win any trophies. Losing against an NFT side, obviously, it is. It can happen. It happened before as well in other countries. But I think a club of that magnitude, it's definitely devastating and unfortunate.
Coach, you played in the continent's second most elite club cup at the time. I mean, the club, the cup winners' cup, and you faced some of the continent's, some will say, the smaller clubs. I remember in the second round, you faced Sunshine FC from Seychelles. You beat them 5-0 on aggregate, beating them 3-0 at home and also 2-0 away. Where I'm going, Coach, I'm trying to understand, how did you prepare your players for such games where they will come up against these less fancy teams?
Yeah, that's you have a big point here. Obviously, this is the mindset of the players that a club from that magnitude of Kaiser Chiefs has to have in the DNA in their system to win trophies. Otherwise, the players can play in a smaller club. They don't need to have the pressure. But every week, week in, week out, is a pressure, and you need to remind those players that they're playing a certain jersey. That it depends on the supporter that that has to, you have to please, and to the club, and the pressure is always on, and you have to perform every week, and you cannot hide. And so, in the end, if the team doesn't perform, it will cost anyone a big problem, a huge problem. And I think reminding those every time and preparing the mindset of the players to those kinds of challenges that is in front of you, it's always very much important. So it's not only today's football, it's not only being coach on the field. There are so many other elements that you have to look into. And on those years, I remember then we came to really big clubs like Club African and Ismaili. And I remember Ismaili won the league on those years in Egypt. So it is quite challenging on those years. But you have a point with that. For me, it's very much important that, especially this type of games, that the players be reminded of to perform under these circumstances.
Mushin, it's Clint here. Thanks for taking the time to chat to us on SL Radio today. You've always been a good friend of Soccer Laduma, so we appreciate you making yourself available. We were speaking earlier about the fact that this happens all over the world. You look at a team like Man United in the English Premier League, and to a certain extent, they're going through something similar, where the badge and the legacy seems to be bigger than the output from the current set of players. You've got a lot of players, former players, now speaking up, saying that it's going to take 4 or 5 years to get Manchester United competitive at the highest level again. That's how big the gap is between the likes of themselves and a Man City and a Liverpool. Knowing the way South African soccer operates, obviously the money, it's not as transparent here. But this, if I look at it, is not a quick fix. It's not a one transfer window fix. On the other hand, when you coach Kaiser Chiefs, if you're not winning, the coach usually is the one who gets sacrificed, and then we got to start rebuilding. How long do you think the fixing job on Kaiser Chiefs is going to take?
Oh, Clint, these are very important points that you're making at the moment. Let me start with the first that you started from the viewpoint of that Manchester United or other teams also have failed maybe. This type of smaller teams, it's a one-shot game for a big club. If you have won from the big club a title in that season, then it doesn't matter, actually. But when you look to a little bit more back, it can happen any time. When you look to back to Kaiser Chiefs now, years, back-to-back, nothing is on the cupboard. And this is the pressure is mounting. So the distance to Sundowns in South African football to come in, the distance to Sundowns, which is at the moment leading African force, it is the difference, the gap is getting bigger and bigger. And so football is also an arm of harmony. You have to have two or three systems to implement, and that means that during the season you can chop and change. You have to be very lucky if you in the transfer season get players that will gel. You could see even last season transfers and that the players actually didn't come to the situation that they can carry the heavy weight of the Kaiser Chiefs jersey week in, week out to perform at the highest level. So actually that must be a plan that you should look into 2 to 3 years and start with finding the right mix between a youngster and very hungry players It will take at least 2 to 3 years to be a force again. But that has to be patient, and it has to be with the right technical and physical stuff to prepare the team in the right way. And that I can see that in South Africa. The big teams are a little bit more behind, and you see that even SuperSport last season had a gap. City came into that picture. Pirates were running for the title, and Sundowns is back to back every time in the title race. So I think for Chiefs, quick as possible, and has to be a proper management decision in that.
Brilliant. Thanks for the insight, and thanks for taking the time to chat to us, and we hope to hear from you again soon.
Thank you very much for having me on board, Bay. Greetings to South Africa and to you guys.
All right, that is our conversation that we just had with former Kaizer Chiefs, former Ajax Cape Town, a former Orlando Pirates coach there. That is Coach Mohsin Etugrau. Remember him there back in 2001, winning so many trophies there for Kaizer Chiefs, also winning the CAF Cup Winners Cup. They were also nominated and won the African Club of the Year back in 2001. A great conversation there, Clint. Coach Mohsin outlining some really good points there. He's also agreeing. I was about to ask him the question about the conversation that we had with Farooq Khan, but because of time, we also need to get track of the young player there, the young midfielder at TS Galaxy, that is Terence Mashego. But Mohsin Etugrau, he mentioned something about the Kaizer Chiefs jersey, and today only, I've spoken to Machaka, I've spoken to Farooq Khan, I also spoken to Mohsin. He's also mentioning something about the jersey, the Kaizer Chiefs jersey, and how heavy it can be for some players.
Yeah, of course. Look, with all big teams, there's the thought that the jersey alone can go and do the job. And we saw, for example, Barcelona against Liverpool. Yes, the colors and the badge mean something. But if anything, what they do is they get the other team up for it. If you don't maintain the standards that got the jersey and the emblem to the place that they are in world football, if you don't give that kind of performance every time you go out, you're going to be found out. Barcelona were found out. Kaizer Chiefs have been found out. Mm-hmm. It's going to the difference is, though, is at least with Barcelona, that blip on the radar happens once every 30 or 40 games. Mm. With Kaizer Chiefs, it seems to be happening too often, which is why they were finished where they did in the league, and which is why an NFD team could flip them over in the Nedbank Cup. So that's possibly more concerning, is the regularity of Kaizer Chiefs players currently certainly not living up to what that Kaizer Chiefs badge stands for.
All right, Clint, I think now we are getting Terence Mashego there. He was also nominated for the PSL Nedbank Young Player of the Tournament. He's played a huge, huge role in that cup final against Kaizer Chiefs. Terence, welcome to Sokala Duma Radio Live. How are you doing, champ?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, sir.
My good sir, how does it feel to be a champion? How does it feel to being the first national first division side to win this Nedbank Cup?
I would say, first of all, it's an honor to be nominated. To win it, something else, it's more like a bonus. Going to the Nedbank Cup final, it was a great moment for us, a learning curve for us. But we worked as a team. That's why we managed in the end to win it. So, yeah, a great achievement for us. Yeah.
You're saying it was a great learning curve for you. But did you get any goosebumps, though? I mean, you are coming. I'm sure this was your first game where you were playing in front of 70,000 Kaizer Chiefs fans. There were also some few of your fans there were there to support you. But did you feel any scared, though, when you walk in there and there was this huge crowd at Moses Mabhida Stadium?
to be honest, I wasn't that scared, but there was just little thing because it was a different atmosphere. It was a different crowd from what we are used to. But because of we usually play in a big crowd, so it wasn't that difficult, but you know, it was different. Like, it was different.
Yeah, but what was Dan's instruction, your coach, though? What was his instruction to the game? What were the tactics, I mean, going into that game against Kaizer Chiefs?
He told us to relax, to play our normal football, not to panic and not to be not to get carried away.
Sure.
Also, warned us about the excitement, that we shouldn't be too excited. We just have to play our normal game and stick to our game plan.
Yeah, but as the game went on, though, the first 10 minutes of the game, I'm sure he mentioned also that the first 10 minutes of the game where the score was still 0-0, going into halftime, what did your coach say at halftime when the score was still 0-0?
The instructions before the game, you know, he told us that we shouldn't allow Chiefs to score, because if they score, it's going to be more difficult for us. Like, it's going to be a big mountain to climb. And on halftime, he told us, now they are tired, we need to first relax the first 15 minutes after our time to relax and see what are they going to do. So when they started coming at us, he told us to relax and try to play long balls. Because we shouldn't take risk and try to combine at the best, because they are going to press. So we waited and waited just to suck the energy out.
You were also dominating that midfield, though. I mean, Kaizer Chiefs started with Dax, and he was substituted straight after halftime. There was also George Maluleke. You still dominated. After Dax was substituted, did you believe that, wow, Dax is being substituted, I'm doing a great job here? Did that come into your mind, that you were doing a great job when Coach Middendorp made his first substitution for Kaizer Chiefs?
I mean, in the middle field, we have quality players. Like, we have players who are able to play, players who are able to work. So that's why, like, we dominated the middle field. Because the guys were on top of their game, so they were able to play and they were able to outplay them. So that's why it couldn't last for 90 minutes.
How did you feel, though, being nominated for this Young Player Award, for the NetBank Young Player Award? How did you feel, and even walking away with the award?
Like I said before, like, it was an honor to be nominated, and to me, but it came as a surprise, like, to be honest. It's something that I wasn't expecting. But throughout the season, I've been working hard. Like, I've played 28 league games, and also played the 6 NetBank games. So on some other point, like, I deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, there are some people who are saying for you clubs, I mean, with all due respect, like, those smaller clubs, especially facing those big teams like your Pirates, your Sundowns, your Chiefs, I mean, they say that is your big opportunity for you to sell yourselves to those teams. Are there any players that you believe that next season they might not be part of the team, including yourself? Will you still be at TS Galaxy next season?
To be honest, with the quality that we have in the team, I also have doubts that I think most of the players are going to be taken, because I would start with the goalkeeper, from the goalkeeper to the back, even the players on the bench, even other players who were not in the A team. I think, like, most of the players are quality, so I believe most of us will get a good PSL contract.
Yeah, sure. So you're telling us here, Sokala Duma, that your phone today has only been called by us. There's no one saying, hi, we are calling you from Soweto, we are calling you from Parktown or in Naturena, saying, we need to speak to you.
No, I haven't received any call yet.
All right, cool. My man, I will have to thank you so much for your time, man. Congratulations on the big win for the NetBank Cup. Are you ready for the CAF Confederations Cup next season?
Okay, thank you, sir. Yeah, I'm ready, sir.
Thanks, Terence. Thanks, Terence, and congratulations for the win.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that is Terence Mashego, the young player there for ETS Galaxy, saying Coach Dan Dance, there Clint is saying, Coach Dan Dance, he told them at halftime that, hey, these players are tired, you need to go there, especially after that substitution by Coach Middendorp, where he substituted Dax and put in Maluleke. This boy, he still dominated. He said as the game went on, they gained momentum, and that they finally got that penalty and won the game. quality, great quality for this boy. And he says no one has called him yet, but I'm sure he will never tell us, but I'm sure the SEA sources will find out that for us.
Yeah, definitely the Sego Boza team will definitely be on top of that one if there is any contact. I think what a lot of PSL clubs, PSL coaches underestimate when it comes to the NFD is that it's almost a different game completely. In the PSL, there seems to be tactically a lot more time on the ball in your own half, and the pressure is only put on by the defending team from about the halfway line. In the NFD, that luxury doesn't exist, and it's a full field press all the time. The game's played at breakneck speed. You've got youngsters with talent and energy, and I feel on the day you take the talent and the energy and the youth, and you add the appeal of winning a cup in front of South Africa's biggest audience against South Africa's biggest team. And there is a recipe for disaster if you happen to be South Africa's biggest team. And that's what happened. And I'm excited for the young team and especially the young players who got to experience that.
Yeah, Clint, I think that will have to be that. We've run out of time and we've come to the end of our show today. Thank you so much, Farouk Khan. Thank you so much also there to Coach Mohsin Etchugral. Also, a very big thank you to Machaka, who took his time from off his busy schedule and come and talk to us here on Sokala Duma Radio. Clint, thank you so much for your time, man. And thank you so much to our producer, Simon Streller. He's been here sitting with us, listening to this conversation about this great football. And from myself, Shane Matsoyane, it is goodbye for now.
Sokala Duma Radio.
Sokala Duma Radio.